Let us pray. May you now speak a word to us through Jesus Christ, who has brought to us the gospel of peace and taught us to be disciples who take the gospel of peace to one another. May you give us the power of your Holy Spirit to share that good news with others who desire to follow you and be changed by your presence in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to recognize that another guest that we have with us in worship today is Dr. Ron White, who is a professor of church history at San Francisco Theological Seminary, as well as a very noteworthy author regarding two books on the words of Abraham Lincoln, most recently, The Eloquent President. He will be down in Stone Hall if you would like to meet him after the worship service. Ron, we're glad that you're here. We have been looking at what it means to participate in the mission of God in the world. Jesus was sent on a mission from God as God's Son present in the world to show us how to be engaged in that mission. That mission includes a mission of doing justice, of bringing forgiveness, of proclaiming who Jesus is as the Christ. And today we look at that mission as making disciples. Now, Sunday school has been a place for many years where churches have invested in making disciples of children. Sometimes the children get it a little differently than intended. At Sunday school, they were teaching on how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in that week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were sick and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" And little Johnny responded, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." That could be taken a lot of ways today. Two boys were walking home from Sunday school, and after hearing a strong preaching on the devil, one said to the other, "What do you think about all the Satan stuff?" The other boy replied, "Well, you know how Santa Claus turned out. It's probably just your dad." A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5- and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little boy said, "Thou shalt not kill." We see a responsibility to teach children and youth about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make them disciples. We know that in order for that to happen, we must first be disciples who make disciples. CBS recently offered a public service announcement in prime time. The announcement was something like this: "Be a mentor to a child or young person. Studies have proven kids with adult mentors do much better in school. Stay off drugs, don't get pregnant at an early age, and go to college. Generally, they are more successful. Be a mentor and save a kid." That's the essence of discipleship. But not just for kids, but for adults. Be a mentor and save another human being. Because mentorship, disciple making, is a human pattern that we cannot jettison. In a recent article in Newsweek magazine, an article about the growth of the Mormon church, the question was asked, "Why is the Mormon church growing so fast?" And the response came, "Because we focus on the importance of family nurturing, faith development in children and youth. And we give everything we have in terms of church resources to the family to support them to develop this discipleship of children and youth." It is possible that there's a message in here for other Protestant churches. The Newsweek article ad right across from that particular announcement about the Mormon church read something like this: Marijuana could threaten your teen success. Marijuana can hinder learning, concentration, and retention of information. It's linked to poorer grades, lack of motivation, concern for the future, and dropouts out of school. So set rules and boundaries with your children. Guide them not to use marijuana. That's an act of discipleship. Richard Foster and Dallas Willard, two specialists in the area of Christian formation and discipleship, were recently in a conversation with each other, and they said together, there is a lack of development of intentional human character after the pattern of Jesus Christ in the culture today. Christian formation and discipleship is all about the formation of a human being's character, not their giftedness, not their intelligence, but the kind of moral fiber that puts them together as a human being, that helps them to live everyday life well as a human being. And they pointed out there were probably at least three reasons that we have a lack of discipleship and human character development in the church. These are all about our inadequate representations of the good news. These representations of the gospel come short of the development of discipleship. The first one is that we see the gospel as the call to forgiveness of sins. That's important. We've articulated that here. But it's not enough. To come to a place where you say, my sins are forgiven, I'm on the way to heaven, and Jesus has saved me. Great. Now what are you going to do about it? The second concern that they have about an inadequate gospel is that the gospel is about getting people into the church membership. If we can just get more people in these walls and have them do the church thing, then somehow they're going to grow as disciples. Well, that doesn't work because there's not enough individual attention and focus on lifestyle patterns in terms of church patterns of life. Thirdly, there's an inadequate gospel because of some churches that teach about social responsibility and righteousness, but nothing about character change and individual purpose in life. It must include a commitment to the transformation of the human being, that Jesus will become the model of character that the person carries through life. The bottom line is that they said we have a commitment to styles of patterns of the gospel, which are gospels of sin management. We understand more of what it means to keep people from sinning and making mistakes than we do to helping people grow to their completeness and fulfillment as a human being in Jesus Christ. We're more concerned of what we're against and what we fear than what we are calling people to become. And Jesus, make no mistake about it, was clear in the Sermon on the Mount that we should become perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We should become complete and mature. And if we aren't on the road to completeness and maturity, we are not on the road to following Jesus in the future. It is important, in order for that to happen, that we engage one another, our children and our youth, in development of their character and their life. Willard says in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, when Jesus deals with moral life, he does not theorize or philosophize. He digs into the guts of human existence in terms of rage, contempt, hatred, obsession, lust, divorce, manipulation, revenge, coercion, slapping, suing, cursing, spitting, and begging. That's pretty raw stuff. But Jesus doesn't leave us there and saying, stop all that. He takes the disciples beyond the Sermon on the Mount into a whole life pattern of transformational existence that makes them wonderful human beings because they have walked with Jesus and are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must, again, pay more attention to what the Lexus company has already put in front of us, but maybe for the wrong reasons. There is a passionate pursuit of perfection that is needed. And I would add, the passionate pursuit of perfection among Presbyterians would be a good thing. Making disciples is not just about making converts. It's not about just receiving Jesus. It's not about just recruiting church members or doing a social action or proselytizing or preaching or teaching. We can have the best preaching in the world and people cannot change because it isn't discipleship. Now, preaching can be connected to discipleship, and I hope that's what we do in this church. But Jesus didn't preach to the disciples to get them to change. He lived life with them. He walked with them. He invested hours, daytime, nighttime with them. He was personal and up close. He had intimate conversations with them. They're in their life together. They discovered what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Willard goes on to say that a disciple is someone who has decided to be with another human being, to become capable of doing what that human being does, and become capable of becoming who that human being is. Discipleship is about the ability of one person to model life for another person so that that person is changed and they can grow into the fullness of who they are. Discipleship is about walking with Jesus for a long period of time so that my whole life is being changed. My every word, my thought, my fears, my attitudes, my decision-making processes, my choices, my plans, my goals, my purposes, my relationships are all being impacted because Jesus is involved in every aspect of my life. Jesus is the one who's helping me to grow in my discipleship. Jesus is the one who shows us that discipleship is about learning to live Jesus' life in the world, not to do exactly what Jesus did in terms of actions. You don't have to walk on water. You don't have to feed 5,000 or 20,000 people. But what Jesus does expect us is that we are growing to the depths of our ability and the moral fiber, the human reality, the depth and completeness of our humanity that permits us to be God's presence in the world. It touches everyday life, at home, at work, at church, at school, entertainment, sports. It touches our driving habits, patterns, and attitudes and words. In marriage and parenting and leading and management and coaching and teaching and governing and stress and under fire, discipleship changes our life patterns. Disciple making is about walking with another human being so that your life rubs off on their life, so they can see you up close and personal. They can see you in action. They can see your flaws. They can see your mistakes. And they hear you confess when you're wrong. They know that they don't have to be perfect in order to have to be a person who's serious about faith. They can see that there is great love in your life and that they are experiencing that love personally. It is about what parents, when they're at their best, do with their children and their young people. Discipleship on the parent side is about what it means to be kind to your teenager when your teenager is treating you like a non-person. Because they will remember that. If you cannot keep your discipleship focused at that moment, then they will remember that you really didn't have the focus and the discipline and the depth when the hard times came and they did what they naturally should do, which is make life miserable for you. Commitment to one person to help another person to follow Jesus more nearly, to love Jesus more dearly, and to see Jesus more clearly. It is the alignment of a person's personal and every aspect of their life to the gospel and to the person of Jesus. It is constantly turning into what God hopes we can become. It is never settling for status quo. It is always being committed to growing and changing and getting better and better and better. Discipleship moves us toward maturity, not perfection in the perfectionistic sense. Sometimes we get that wrong. But that we become whole and healthy and complete, knowing that we are flawed, that we are not God. Discipleship is about reality. And sometimes it's just helping another person get in touch with who they really are in terms of their flaws as well as their gifts. Disciple making cannot be done alone. You cannot become a disciple on your own. You must have someone walk with you to become a disciple. Great misunderstanding, American individualism. It's my business, it's just me and God. God can help do it with me. I don't need anybody else. Major heresy in terms of American religion. It can't be done quickly. It can't be done narrowly in a confined way. It can't be done judgmentally. It cannot be done in a classroom or in a sanctuary. It can only be done person to person, day by day, up close and personal. Now, it doesn't mean that all those other things are important. But you can have the best institutional life and programming available, but if there is no human-to-human discipleship, it will probably not turn out well. Disciple-making is lifelong, communal, whole-life character development that takes in all of our human abilities to teach, coach, show, demonstrate, model, encourage, affirm, and hold accountable. Why do we need disciple-making today? Because the church is less and less influential in the Judeo-Christian tradition. The gospel of Jesus Christ is less and less known. Unless we walk with people and help them to know the depth of it, they will never have a chance to be parented in a family which has been committed to their growth spiritually. We tend to create in American churches today people who are passive spectators to watch the performance of experts. That is not discipleship. If that had been the case, we wouldn't be here today because the disciples would have said, our expert's gone, we're in terrible trouble. My job as the pastor of the church is to help you make disciples. Yes, I can preach and I can teach and I can care, but the real core of it is to make sure that you can become disciple makers and I can help you do that so I practice it as well. It's one of the reasons we do the Godparent Ministry in this church. So some parents can come alongside other parents and help them know how to be good Christian parents and disciple their children. How do we make disciples? We do that the way Jesus did it. When the disciples heard at the end of Matthew 28 that Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples, you had to wonder if they asked the question, Lord, how do we do this if you're not here? Well, Jesus assures them that he is present always to the end of the time. But the key is that he is assuming that they have learned how to make disciples by going back to the methodology that he practiced with them. And so we learn by looking at the Gospels and seeing how Jesus made disciples himself. We have children with us. We have youth with us when we're experiencing faith development ourselves as adults. Or as Mary Jackson Cathy has often said in some way like this, how will they ever be in church as adults if they are not there when they are young? How will they learn to worship? How will they learn to sing hymns? How will they ever love the church unless adults can bring their children along and participate with them? Well, I looked at my own life and discovered that I've had lots of people invest in me. They took time out to disciple me in life. When I was in high school and I was very focused in doing the academics of math and physics and science and doing well in every class, I had one of the school counselors call me in and say, you know, Gareth, you're going to be a success in the future at something, but you're not going to be very balanced. You need to do something with art in your life. I said, I'm getting ready for college. You don't mean to do art? He said, yes. I'd like you to start singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat with me right here in the office. I said, you've got to be kidding. It's not very scientific. He was taking an action of a disciple maker. Because in the face of all the academics, he knew that what I really needed to do was sing. And so he started guiding me, row, row, row your boat. And we sang it individually. We sang it as a round. We kept singing it until we actually started ringing through the place. He said, you're a good singer. I want you in the choir next year. And what I didn't know was that he intended to make me a disciple with the kind of music that he taught, with the kind of community he built, with the kind of attitude he presented in class as a person of faith. He never crammed it down our throats, but you knew he believed in Jesus. It is a good thing to be a teacher and coach who communicates faith in the action of teaching and coaching. I had another teacher my senior year in high school who told me that I was not ever going to be a good writer, that she had been working with me for a year and it just wasn't going to measure up. That was rather depressing to me. So she said, what you need to try is a good class in advanced composition. So my very last part of my senior year, I took a class in advanced composition and fortunately had a teacher who was willing to take the time and say, now relax. I think it's within you. You can do this. I'm going to coach you and help you to learn how to write well. I made straight A's in her class and won the reward for doing the class speech at the graduation, which was my first major preaching appointment. But I can tell you this, that would have not have happened if an individual had not taken time to disciple me in a faith moment around writing and speaking. It is important that we all have opportunities to invest in children, youth, and adults. Young adults and adults who are not yet schooled in the discipleship of Jesus. And it's about all of life. And about faith in Jesus Christ touches and empowers all of life to become excellent. My final example is about a woman who took me aside in college and worked with me and discipled me in faith and behavior patterns in college. The first time she met me, I was wearing chartreuse green pants. You know, you have to know, no one here today would dare wear chartreuse green pants. And the only reason I was wearing is because I didn't know better. They were pants that fit me. She said, we got to do something about those pants. She was a person of faith, and all the time, I didn't know this, but she was working on my faith development as well as my pants. She went to a major department store one day and bought me a really fine, elegant teal shirt that somehow matched those chartreuse pants. She says, now, if you can just dress with a little more sophistication and sensitivity, I think it'll be okay. And then taught me how to be a disciple of Jesus. If you don't think you have a contribution to make here, think again. Every one of us have an ability to help another human being to experience the better part of life and to see Jesus as a part of that. And Jesus is the one who can help them walk. So where are you at today? Are you a person who is practicing discipleship? Are you a person who is turning and making disciples of other people? Or are you standing back and expecting somebody else to do it? Because if you do, the world's lacking your presence, and some kids and some adults are not going to make it because you haven't invested. It is time to become serious about the mission of making disciples, and that includes every one of us, to be a disciple and to turn and make them seriously. It is the core of the mission of Jesus. Without this mission, the church perishes in one generation. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, teach us to make disciples in all aspects of life, not to be tunnel vision, but to see the big picture, to show love and grace and help develop the next generations. Help us to take the initiative to do what your mission is in the world, to make disciples who know you and follow you into eternity. It is in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.